Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Four reasons why Jesus wants you to unclutter your space. Man with Jesus tattoo wanted in tattoo artist shooting. Tamar Braxton says Jesus is fine with her wearing lingerie on her tour. Jesus would have been cool with weed, says Christian cannabis pastor. My mom was the first to see Jesus in a tortilla, and it changed our lives. All of these are actual headlines that I pulled off the website this week. And they're all dated from May. The name Jesus is used to grab readers' attention and pull them in. Yet not one of these headlines is helpful for anyone in recognizing Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not one of these stories directs us to the truth that Christ is risen. Nor that indeed Jesus is the Son of the living God of heaven. People today, as they were in Jesus' day, are curious about Jesus. His power, teaching, and works attract people to him. But for what reason? Why is it that people are drawn to him? What is it that they seek in him? When Jesus, as he did in today's gospel lesson, tells people plainly who he is, they oftentimes don't want to hear his answer. People want Jesus to be what they seek and what they desire to use him for, and not for who he truly is or what he freely offers. What we need to be careful about when others learn that we are Christians is that we need to be very careful to tell them plainly who we follow and who he truly is. Being a Christian is about being a follower of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is about him, not us. It isn't up to us to make Jesus palatable to others. It's not up to us to package Jesus in a more acceptable form for them. Jesus isn't a widget that we're trying to sell. He's not an old product that needs new marketing or something in a new way. We are called to be his witnesses, not his marketers. His servants, not his salesmen. And his sheep, not his shepherd. He makes clear who he is. And for that, the Jews of his day and the majority of people today reject him. He says plainly that he is the Son of God. And that's one of the reasons why the Jews of his day sought to put him to death. And that's also why many today reject him. But that only happens when we are honest about who he truly is. When we try and put forward an image of Jesus that is less than he is, or other than who he is, sure, we can make him sound PC and publicly acceptable. Why not? Look at all that he's done. But that's not fair to those that we are called to speak to. It's Jesus as both God and man that we have all had to grapple with. We have all had to deal with that. And by His grace, we have been given His Holy Spirit to receive that truth. Don't shortchange that for others. Let them have that holy struggle for themselves that only God can resolve. We have all had to face the stumbling block of Jesus' divinity, of Jesus being at the same time God and human. He's called us, and He's granted us faith. Faith to believe in Him as the Holy One of God come to earth to give His life on the cross for the sake of the lost and the condemned, for us. We've been given faith to accept Him as He is, on His own terms, not on ours. Trust that God will do that for those we speak with also, and He will do that in His time and in His way. But remember, that can only happen as we are honest about whom Jesus is. As He said today, "I and the Father are one." What Jesus truly is what changes a person, not just what they think or what we think He is. Jesus is not a holy trickster. He's not merely a good teacher. He's not merely a prophet or some leadership guru. He's not about the basic principles of anything. He is God. He's God in the flesh, come to earth to bring the forgiveness of God to the world that rebelled against Him in sin. We're the sheep, and we have wandered off in our ignorance and in our self-centered ways. And He is the shepherd that's come down to draw us back to the safety of His flock. When we try and picture Him as something other than what He has revealed Himself to be, we cheat Him, we cheat others, and we cheat ourselves. That's something that St. Paul addressed in the first lesson today. He said in verse 20 and 21, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." In repentance, everyone comes before God, Paul says. Remember, repentance has its two parts: sorrow for sin and trust for Jesus' sake that we are forgiven. That's what St. Paul teaches is true for all people. We cannot alter that for anyone. We cannot reduce that in any way. And besides, having faith in Jesus as the Christ teaches us that we can go no place else for the forgiveness of our sins. St. Paul goes on to say in verse 24, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." There's the task. There's the task left also to us, to testify to God's grace. Testify to it. Not change it, not dumb it down, or make it anything less than what Jesus has bought with the cost of His holy blood shed on the cross for us, for the world. We are of the flock of Jesus Christ that Satan attacks from without and from within. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Our testimony is always being tried. It's always being tested. Remaining faithful. Remaining faithful to God's word and hearing only the voice of our good shepherd will keep us steadfast in the face of such trials. And that's why the only way for others to know the good news that Christ is risen,
he is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Is one last thing from St. Paul. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up." What do you do to make the word of God present in your life? First to you, and then to others. In other words, this is the question today. How do you recognize Jesus, the Lamb of God, daily in your life? That's important because that's what was missing in the lives of the Jews in today's lessons. A daily recognition of God in their lives as he had revealed himself to them in Jesus Christ. Paul in the first lesson today is also calling for a day-by-day recognition of the Word and the grace of God day-by-day in our lives. That word, he says, that word is what alone can build us up. Not that we build ourselves up, but that God does that through his word in us. Now, it's true, we can shut out the word of God if we choose to, but we're the only ones who are hurt by that. It's our growth in grace that gets stunted when we turn away from God's word. We then can become like those who choose to not see Jesus for who he is, our great shepherd and the Lamb of God who calls us his own. And by his blood and by his sacrifice has died to accomplish just that. By his grace, we have his righteousness that allows us to stand before God with the great multitude that we read about in Revelation today. John writes, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." In front of the Lamb. We're the ones that the Lamb of God sacrificed himself for on the cross. We are the sheep of his pasture, and we hear his voice as we read, mark, and inwardly digest the Word of God, because that's what reveals Christ to us. Here now, I have for you 6 ways that you can do that. I'd like you to pick 1, or 2, or 3. These are 6 suggestions. Who knows? I may ask you about this. Could be. But before doing any of them, I encourage you, I ask you, I almost would require of you that you pray. Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, to recognize how some aspect of the life, death, or resurrection of Jesus can be seen in what you read. And remember, this is for every day. So number 1, pick 1 book of the Bible that you've never read all the way through. Start on that. But only do 1 or 2 chapters each day, no more. And remember to pray. Number 2, pick 1 Old Testament book and 1 New Testament book. And read 1 chapter from each every day, 1 in the morning maybe and 1 at night. and remember to... Very good. Yes, we're getting there. Do a word study if you've never done one. Look in the concordance. That's that list of words in the back of a study Bible. Pick a significant word for you and read at least one chapter every day that has that word in it and see how God uses that word in different places and in different ways. We did that today in Bible study again, where we looked at what it means to have 1,000 days or 1,000 years. What does that mean? And also, remember to pray. Yes. Number four, do a life study. Pick a biblical person, and again, use that concordance. Look up every reference you can to that person and read about them. Now, you'll have to pick more than one person if you pick somebody like Bildad or Og or Zacchaeus. And remember to pray, yes. Put on some music. Put on some music. Read one or two of the Psalms each day. Remember that these were songs, and they were sung. Imagine what that might have sounded like for the different types of psalms. And remember to pray. Number six, the last one for today. What Bible verses have been significant for you? I'm sure there's more than one. Pick one a day to memorize. Write it on 6 or 8 post-it notes. Put them around your house, your workspace, your steering wheel, on your car. Any place you're going to be that day. Say it out loud at least 20 times that day. And remember to pray. So those are some things that you can do that might impact your vision. That might impact your ability to see Christ in your life each day. After all, as His sheep, we need to learn to follow His voice alone. Getting that voice, that word in our head, helps us to respond to it and to live in it. Nothing in this world can separate us from Him. He's promised that to us. So act on that promise. Live in His Word. Let that Word richly fill you, and then hearing His voice brings us the comfort of His presence and the wholeness of His righteousness in our lives each day. In the name of our great Shepherd, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the words